Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. My name, oh, it really is a good morning in Israel. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about fun stuff, because last night as I was coming back from a wedding so far away, and it was so cold and these streets were so icy. That's not the point, but I'll get to that later. The point was, I came home, and of course, 1 o'clock in the morning, knowing that I had to get up at the crap of dawn to speak to you guys and to kind of connect. So what did I do? I turned on the computer and I found out that we have a peace plan proposed by the United States. You know, with all due respect, you know, it's not good. You know, it takes two to tango. Do you ever do? I'm going to practice today doing a tango by myself and see how that works. Engineer, I want to know who's listening in, because I know we're hearing from Canada. It's got to be colder in Canada than it is here. Please let it be colder somewhere in the world than it is right here. Very disappointing. No snowstorm. And most important, I made a promise, but it's not a promise. It's a promise we want to say good morning to Ruth Malka, our number one fan. Ruth Malka, I apologize to you. Years ago, I wrote an article and I totally dragged you over the coals. And I dragged you over the coals in that article because, frankly, I was jealous. I was jealous of your perfection. I was jealous about your adorable life. I was jealous about, really, about your dress size. And so I apologize. You're terrific. And it was a lot of fun seeing you last night. So we're going to talk about the snowstorm, the weather, another dud in Israel, only wet. All the snow plows were lined up last night. When I first made Aliyah in 1995, I think it was 23 years ago, you'd listen to the radio, no joke, and they would say, the snow plow is oiled up, it's heated, and it's ready for action. The snow plow. Jerusalem had one snow plow. It was very sad. So now we have a lot of snow plows with nothing to do. All right, we're going to say good morning to my friends in the States, Canada, Israel, of course, duh, England, Australia, Norway, Argentina, Germany, Brazil, Ireland, and good morning, Mexico. And that's it. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. I'm going to see you on the other side.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
We're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. I'm laughing, forgive me, because I rarely look into the chat room. I must confess. I look in to see who's on, to see who's friendly. And you know what? If you're creepy, if you're mean, if you're nasty to other people in the chat room, I have nothing to say to you. It's really not my vibe, not my style. But I was going to share all of you to tell you that one of the reasons I'm not so chipper today, you can hear the non-chipperness in my voice, is because my husband, Ronnie, the great and always on time, Ronnie, is in Bulgaria and he's in the chat room with Michali. Good morning, Ronnie and Michali. That's not his girlfriend, by the way. It's his daughter. All right. That's my stepdaughter, and she and her father are eating nachos and drinking coffee. And in the last picture, I saw quite a bit of Shivas Regal. All right, we're going to get out of here. So why is your husband in Bulgaria and you are home talking to the masses? Well, that's because they're doing this whole bonding trip, and it's very, very nice. And quite frankly, I was not invited. They tried to suck up later and say, no, really, you can come. It's not a problem. But there was like a lack of sincerity in their voices. And nobody's going to con me. I need to be begged. All right, having said that, we're not going to talk about some of the clothing he brought and the mismatching outfits. Few things before we go on. I want to give everybody a vocabulary lesson. Oh, one more thing. I read the list of who was listening in, and one of the things was kind of writing, you know, making me feel sad because I was missing our friends from Nigeria. Have no fear. Our friends from Nigeria are also listening in, and also Saudi Arabia. Good morning, Saudi Arabia. I hope the weather by you is a little better than the weather by us. Okay, pulled away. Have your pens out. Have out your iPads, your iPods, or whatever you do with them. Little vocabulary lesson before we go on so we understand. It's not a Hebrew lesson, but a vocabulary lesson. When the news says to you, when the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, and assorted other rags say to you, West Bank, don't be conned. It is called Judea and Samaria. Twist it in your head. There's politically correct speech. You know, there's certain words we don't use when talking about people with mental disabilities and challenges. Well, we don't say West Bank. Feh pleh. Judea and Samaria, or be'ivrit in Hebrew, Yehuda v'shamron. Settlements. The word settlements and settlers. This is the methodology to dehumanize us. You give it a little nasty ting, a little nasty. We seem like usurpers. The settlements, bleh, feh, peh, are called communities. Like you have a community with your drive-in dairy barns and your movie theaters and your grocery stores and your places of worship and medical centers. We also have communities, communities in our land, in our country. We didn't make it up and we didn't grasp the land. It is ours. It has always been ours. And also, the other S word that they use for the residents. We are residents. We are not settlers. And if you're going to use the word in Hebrew for settlers, I learned from Nadia Matar, who I wish were my dear friend, but I'm working on it. The great Nadia Matar, founder of Women in Green, the Hebrew word for settlers, I'm losing all my Hebrew now, is actually based on the root of the word inheritors. So call us what you want. We are the inheritors. All right, let's see. Interesting. Talking about glorious Jews, glorious land, a glorious week. This week, on Sunday night, I went to a bat mitzvah. We've all heard about bat mitzvahs. Bat mitzvah is the age when a Jewish girl becomes 12 years old in authentic observant Judaism, and she takes on the responsibility of being an adult Jewish woman. That means that now she's obligated to perform the commandments that are appropriate to her. She doesn't have to do commandments that are not appropriate for her. So I've heard about bat mitzvahs in America and other countries, and even in places here in Israel where they have different themes, Disney themes, My Little Pony themes, Beyonce themes. This was an incredible bat mitzvah of a lovely girl named Tzipora. Named Tzipora is actually the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher Moses, his wife, and her name was Tzipora, and this girl was named after her. And I went to this bat mitzvah. No Disney theme there, I gotta tell you. Everything was deliberate. This little girl gets up and she shows a video, and what is her project? Very often, girls from really rooted families and boys have projects for their bat mitzvahs to show that they really are worthy of accepting the responsibilities of becoming a man or a woman in the Jewish nation. And what she chose to do was to sponsor actually it's going to be next week, a tree planting a tree planting ceremony where they're going to plant 72 trees in recognition of the homes that have recently been demolished by the Israeli government in an attempt to appease our unappeasable enemies. There were homes destroyed in the communities, heard the word communities, of Amona, Ofra, Nativ Ha'avot, and Kfar Tapuach. 72 homes destroyed, 72 olive trees are going to be planted at the entrance of the settlement of Amichai. Here is Tzipora Nuzan. You are a child who is absolutely going to be a rock star for the people of Israel, in the history of Israel, and on the way to our redemption. Very proud to have been there. So wait, afterwards, I have to tell you, I got to watch the clock here because I know I'm supposed to get into a heavy news day and actually talk about Mahmoud Abbas. Blech! But anyway, so after that, a very good friend, she came with me. She came. She lives in Male Adumim. She doesn't drive. So she came to me where I live, and I'm kind of halfway between Male Adumim, which is like on the way to Jericho. And then we went to Gush Etzion. So I'm in between. She came with her backpack, and we had a pajama party afterwards. And I realized there's something. When grandmothers have pajama parties, it's not quite as much fun. We didn't have pillow fights, and we didn't give manicures. Instead, she helped me map out my new kitchen. So it was kind of awkward, but I cleaned this house like never before because I don't know what other people's standards are, but I figured that they were a tad higher than mine. All right. Let's see. Other things in the news, the fun news. Oh my gosh. So I went to a wedding last night. I'm very busy. It's amazing that I even have time to do this show. Anyway, I went to a wedding last night. Let me cross this out. Cross, cross, cross. Good. I'd never been such a beautiful, beautiful place. It was at Kibbutz Givat Brenner. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And Kibbutz Givat Brenner is a very old kibbutz. You know that kibbutzim, a kibbutz, anybody who took Israel 101, these are communal farmlands, communal properties where the early immigrants really lived very socialist existences and very beautiful. And there are very few real kibbutzim left. I wish I could tell you more about Kibbutz Brenner, but I can't. So having said that, they had a catering hall. It was so magnificent. I can only imagine what it would be like during clement weather. I drove there. It was the first time I actually used the word hydroplaning. My car skidded. It was so scary. I put on my blinkers. I was determined to live another day. The roads were terrible. They were promising insane snow in Jerusalem. Didn't really happen. You know, little snow, little slushy. I have to tell you, this bride and groom, they were so gorgeous. It was just so beautiful and such a, we call it kibbutz, you know, kibbutz galiyot, the ingathering of the tribes. The girl, so stunning, Nicole is her name. Wouldn't she have a name like Nicole? It wasn't like Briny. Anyway, Nicole was just beautiful from Los Angeles. Fell in love with a gorgeous Israeli soldier. Duh, he's on my side. Yitzi, I was on his side. And Nicole, ironically, is Iraqi. She's Iraqi from Los Angeles. And here she married this Ashkenazi American, I don't even know if he was born in America, American parentage boy. The two of them were so gorgeous. The rock music was great. And the best part was I got to see my sons who live in various parts of the country. And either they're still growing or I am truly shrinking. Let's see now. We talked about the wedding. Oh, one more thing. I'm just sharing this with you. The women listening to this will know. I put on my dress and it didn't quite fit. So I went into that bottom drawer and I got all of that like prescription underwear that we swear that we're never going to wear again. They make commercials, things like Spanx. Thank goodness I'm past the age of childbearing because I really did injure my body last night with what I was wearing under the dress. Okay. Having said that, oh yeah. I have to tell you, I was sitting next to somebody who shall remain nameless, somebody who's been a friend for years, the husband of a very, very good friend. He's been helpful to me. He's really been a guidepost, a good buddy. He was eating from my plate. They served black pasta. Has anybody listening to this ever eaten black pasta? It looks like olives. And I didn't want to eat it because I don't like olives in my food. Anyway, he was picking at my plate. I just found that a little odd. Let's see. We talked about the husband in Bulgaria, black pasta, people eating from my plate, wonderful bat mitzvah girls. And I think that will take us to the next segment when we're going to be talking about the Trump peace plan. Not a peace plan. You have to have a peace partner. And anybody who's wringing their hands, any Jew who's wringing their hands and saying, oh, no, we can't give back. We can't. Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. The Arabs are going to do what they do, which is nothing, and garner public support and public attention at the same time. So actually, that's good news. This is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair. Stay tuned. We have a lot to talk about on the other side.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
We're back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. I'm laughing, forgive me, because I rarely look into the chat room. I must confess. I look in to see who's on, to see who's friendly. And you know what? If you're creepy, if you're mean, if you're nasty to other people in the chat room, I have nothing to say to you. It's really not my vibe, not my style. But I was going to share all of you to tell you that one of the reasons I'm not so chipper today, you can hear the non-chipperness in my voice, is because my husband, Ronnie, the great and always on time, Ronnie, is in Bulgaria and he's in the chat room with Michali. Good morning, Ronnie and Michali. That's not his girlfriend, by the way. It's his daughter. All right. That's my stepdaughter, and she and her father are eating nachos and drinking coffee. And in the last picture, I saw quite a bit of Shivas Regal. All right, we're going to get out of here. So why is your husband in Bulgaria and you are home talking to the masses? Well, that's because they're doing this whole bonding trip, and it's very, very nice. And quite frankly, I was not invited. They tried to suck up later and say, no, really, you can come. It's not a problem. But there was like a lack of sincerity in their voices. And nobody's going to con me. I need to be begged. All right. Having said that, we're not going to talk about some of the clothing he brought and the mismatching outfits. Few things before we go on. I want to give everybody a vocabulary lesson. Oh, one more thing. I read the list of who was listening in, and one of the things was kind of writing, you know, making me feel sad because I was missing our friends from Nigeria. Have no fear. Our friends from Nigeria are also listening in, and also Saudi Arabia. Good morning, Saudi Arabia. I hope the weather by you is a little better than the weather by us. Okay, pulled away. Have your pens out. Have out your iPads, your iPods, or whatever you do with them. Little vocabulary lesson before we go on so we understand. It's not a Hebrew lesson, but a vocabulary lesson. When the news says to you, when the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, and assorted other rags say to you, West Bank, don't be conned. It is called Judea and Samaria. Twist it in your head. There's politically correct speech. You know, there's certain words we don't use when talking about people with mental disabilities and challenges. Well, we don't say West Bank, Judea and Samaria, or Be'ivrit in Hebrew, Yehuda ve'Shamron. Settlements, the word settlements and settlers. This is the methodology to dehumanize us. You give it a little nasty ting, a little nasty. We seem like usurpers. The settlements, bleh, feh, peh, are called communities. Like you have a community with your drive-in dairy barns and your movie theaters and your grocery stores and your places of worship and medical centers. We also have communities, communities in our land, in our country. We didn't make it up and we didn't grasp the land. It is ours. It has always been ours. And also, the other S word that they use for the residents. We are residents. We are not settlers. And if you're going to use the word in Hebrew for settlers, I learned from Nadia Matar, who I wish were my dear friend, but I'm working on it. The great Nadia Matar, founder of Women in Green, the Hebrew word for settlers, I'm losing all my Hebrew now, is actually based on the root of the word inheritors. So call us what you want. We are the inheritors. All right, let's see. Interesting. Talking about glorious Jews, glorious land, a glorious week. This week, on Sunday night, I went to a bat mitzvah. We've all heard about bat mitzvahs. Bat mitzvah is the age when a Jewish girl becomes 12 years old in authentic observant Judaism. And she takes on the responsibility of being an adult Jewish woman. That means that now she's obligated to perform the commandments that are appropriate to her. She doesn't have to do commandments that are not appropriate for her. So I've heard about bat mitzvahs in America and other countries, and even in places here in Israel where they have different themes, Disney themes, My Little Pony themes, Beyonce themes. This was an incredible bat mitzvah of a lovely girl named Tzipora. Named Tzipora is actually the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, our teacher Moses, his wife, and her name was Tzipora, and this girl was named after her. And I went to this bat mitzvah. No Disney theme there, I got to tell you. Everything was deliberate. This little girl gets up, and she shows a video, and what is her project? Very often, girls from really rooted families and boys have projects for their bat mitzvahs to show that they really are worthy of the of accepting the responsibilities of becoming a man or a woman in the Jewish nation. And what she chose to do was to sponsor actually it's going to be next week, a tree planting a tree planting ceremony where they're going to plant 72 trees in recognition of the homes that have recently been demolished by the Israeli government in an attempt to appease our unappeasable enemies. There were homes destroyed in the communities, heard the word communities, of Amona, Ofra, Nativ Ha'avot, and Kfar Tapuach. 72 homes destroyed, 72 olive trees are going to be planted at the entrance of the settlement of Amichai. Here is Tzipora Nuzan. You are a child who is absolutely going to be a rock star for the people of Israel, in the history of Israel, and on the way to our redemption. Very proud to have been there. So wait, afterwards, I have to tell you, I got to watch the clock here because I know I'm supposed to get into a heavy news day and actually talk about Mahmoud Abbas. Blech! But anyway, so after that, a very good friend, she came with me. She came. She lives in Male Adumim. She doesn't drive. So she came to me where I live, and I'm kind of halfway between Male Adumim, which is like on the way to Jericho. And then we went to Gush Etzion. So I'm in between. She came with her backpack, and we had a pajama party afterwards. And I realized there's something. When grandmothers have pajama parties, it's not quite as much fun. We didn't have pillow fights, and we didn't give manicures. Instead, she helped me map out my new kitchen. So it was kind of awkward, but I cleaned this house like never before because I don't know what other people's standards are, but I figured that they were a tad higher than mine. All right. Let's see. Other things in the news, the fun news. Oh my gosh. So I went to a wedding last night. I'm very busy. It's amazing that I even have time to do this show. Anyway, I went to a wedding last night. Let me cross this out. Cross, cross, cross. Good. I'd never been in such a beautiful, beautiful place. It was at Kibbutz Givat Brenner. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And Kibbutz Givat Brenner is a very old kibbutz. You know that kibbutzim, a kibbutz, anybody who took Israel 101, these are communal farmlands, communal properties where the early immigrants really lived very socialist existences and very beautiful. And there are very few real kibbutzim left. I wish I could tell you more about Kibbutz Brenner, but I Can't. So having said that, they had a catering hall. It was so magnificent. I can only imagine what it would be like during clement weather. I drove there. It was the first time I actually used the word hydroplaning. My car skidded. It was so scary. I put on my blinkers. I was determined to live another day. The roads were terrible. They were promising insane snow in Jerusalem. Didn't really happen. You know, little snow, little slushy. I have to tell you, this bride and groom, they were so gorgeous. It was just so beautiful and such a, we call it kibbutz, you know, kibbutz galiyot, the ingathering of the tribes. The girl, so stunning, Nicole is her name. Wouldn't she have a name like Nicole? It wasn't like Briny. Anyway, Nicole was just beautiful, from Los Angeles, fell in love with a gorgeous Israeli soldier. Duh, he's on my side. Yitzi, I was on his side. And Nicole, ironically, is Iraqi. She's Iraqi from Los Angeles. And here she married this Ashkenazi American, I don't even know if he was born in America, American parentage boy. The two of them were so gorgeous. The rock music was great. And the best part was I got to see my sons who live in various parts of the country. And either they're still growing or I am truly shrinking. Let's see now. We talked about the wedding. Ah, one more thing. I'm just sharing this with you. The women listening to this will know. I put on my dress and it didn't quite fit. So I went into that bottom drawer and I got all of that like prescription underwear that we swear that we're never going to wear again. They make commercials, things like Spanx. Thank goodness I'm past the age of childbearing because I really did injure my body last night with what I was wearing under the dress. Okay, having said that, oh yeah. I have to tell you, I was sitting next to somebody who shall remain nameless, somebody who's been a friend for years, the husband of a very, very good friend. He's been helpful to me. He's really been a guidepost, a good buddy. He was eating from my plate. They served black pasta. Has anybody listening to this ever eaten black pasta? It looks like olives. And I didn't want to eat it because I don't like olives in my food. Anyway, he was picking at my plate. I just found that a little odd. Let's see. We talked about the husband in Bulgaria, black pasta, people eating from my plate, wonderful bat mitzvah girls. And I think that will take us to the next segment where we're going to be talking about the Trump peace plan. Not a peace plan. You have to have a peace partner. And anybody who's wringing their hands, any Jew who's wringing their hands and saying, oh, no, we can't give back. We can't. Don't worry. Nothing's going to happen. The Arabs are going to do what they do, which is nothing, and garner public support and public attention at the same time. So actually, that's good news. This is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair. Stay tuned. We have a lot to talk about on the other side.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. Before we finish our last segment with my beloved Parsha section, I do want to announce Israel News Talk Radio, really my home. I was going to say it's my home away from home, but I think I'm a little comfortable at Israel News Talk Radio. It doesn't get better than this. Having said that, we have befriended and are partnering a tad with South African Chai FM. in South Africa, and I understand they have a fabulous listening audience. Anybody listening in from Chai FM this morning, don't drop me a note on the chat room, okay? You can write to me at Andrea@IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and please God, I'm going to be visiting every Thursday afternoon during the afternoon rush hour drive, 5:20 to 5:30, and I know that Tamar Yona, our stalwart and fearless leader here, is also going to be appearing on the show an afternoon or 12 a week. And it's really an honor. My son-in-law had a show on that station for a while, and they do good, good work in my second home. Israel News Talk Radio might be the first, or Modern at Sea the second, and South Africa, beloved South Africa, my third. Okay, Parsha B'Shalach. So the children of Israel are leaving Egypt. Paro chases after them to force their return. Very interesting. I came across this adorable Chabad site. You know, Chabad, those are the Lubavitcher guys who set up the big menorahs and places to eat around the world. They have this cute little thing that you can find on the internet, which sums up the Parsha. And it's called Parsha in a Nutshell, or Torah in a Nutshell, or something like that. It was very, very cute. So one of the things that jumped out at me was all the kinds of chesed, kindness, performed by God on our behalf. You know, we were not an easy crowd, that's for sure. We're not an easy crowd today. So the kind of chesed, and we're going to use that word for kindness. Anybody of my non-Jewish listeners, practice the cha-cha-cha. Chesed, such as the manna, we call it man, the splitting of the sea, the waters of Marah, the bitter waters that were turned sweet, all of them were performed by God for Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, in spite of the fact that Jews constantly questioned his ways and complained bitterly to poor Moshe. I don't know how Moshe did it. Thankfully, we were not Moshe. Thankfully, I was not Moshe, because Jewish history might have ended right there. So how were these complaining, stiff-necked, angry people worthy for the kindness they received, given their constant state of dissatisfaction and intolerance? So the Chafetz Chaim brings down that when the Jews were in Egypt, for all their assimilation, for all their falling down to ultimately 49 levels of impurity before they were grabbed back from the abyss of forever disintegration, they made a pact with one another to minimally be kind to each other. And I hope that people in the chat room, some people who just aren't getting me. That's okay. There are other shows in which to be nasty or harif, and the other hosts can take it. Not me, not going there. So anyway, back to Bnei Yisrael, of which I am a part. At the time of their enslavement, you know, they looked for ways to be saved from his evil decrees. And when they felt so, you know, so impotent, so unable to rise up against powers that seemed so much greater than them, their hope and their understanding of God was that by being kind to each other, that perhaps God, with whom they were still not so familiar, would be kind and redeem them from this terrible enslavement. And in the merit of chesed, it really proved to be their ticket out of Egypt. The Chafetz Chaim adds that by doing kindness, doing chesed, we all, each and every one of us, becomes a tool in bringing about the redemption for all of our people, and a lesson that all generations certainly can learn from. I'm watching the clock. There's stuff I came across. Okay, we'll get to that at the end. This I liked. So that in the Parsha, we learn about the manna. And I have to tell you, I always think that it looked a lot like tofu, you know, falling down. Hopefully it tasted a lot better than tofu. I do a lot with tofu. I think I've whispered the fact that despite being a right winger, I'm a pretty devoted vegetarian, and tofu really just is bleh. Anyway, the man was a nutritional substance that miraculously was provided every single morning and really sustained the Jewish people. So it first appeared after they complained to Moshe that they were hungry, and they expressed a terrible, terrible fear of starvation. And suddenly God hears, the heavens opened, and Mun comes down. So it's very interesting. I wanted to say that there were a couple of examples. This is what we're going to call tactile Torah today. We're going to take it from the realms of the lofty and make it real. You know, A equals B. So the Mun descended and had to be collected every single day except for Shabbat. No portion of Mun could be saved from one day to the next. Really addresses gluttony. So the lesson is a Jew has to have absolute faith that our Father in heaven is going to provide for us and our family each day. And although our parnassa, our income, no longer visibly or physically comes down from heaven, instead comes from our aching hands, we have to believe that heaven is the source of all material benefit and that our genuine needs are going to be fulfilled. Furthermore, financial security, it is not achieved solely through our earnings, savings, and investments for the future. God's benevolence, don't kid yourself, coupled with our hishtadlut, our efforts, this is what's going to lead to material comfort. Now, another interesting point was that any portion of the man that was left overnight became spoiled and was filled with worms. There's my gluttony lesson, that if we lack the requisite degree of bitachon, Bina is insight. Bitachon is really faith. And begin to believe that our own efforts and strategies are the only way that we're going to get this financial security. We are going to find, or we may find, that we have an excess of accrued wealth, spoils, and that we're really not going to gain spiritually from them, socially from them. Who knows? You know, we hear about the spoiled children, people preying on the wealthy, that kind of a thing. Perhaps it's an overgrabbing of the mun. No matter how much one collects of the mun, no one was ever able to bring home more than one omer per family member, just enough for a day's meals. Lesson, no matter, didn't I do my research for you? Are you impressed? No matter how hard one works at increasing his material wealth, he's going to never get more or less than the portion allotted to him by the Ribbono Shel Olam. No one ever succeeds in increasing his portion at the expense of others. That goes back to our decision to do kindness. So then we might say, well, if it's all preordained by heaven, how rich I'm going to be, why even bother? I'll sit back, do nothing, and I'll get it. No, it's hishtadlus. It's our own effort. We have to work hand in hand. It is a partnership. All right. God is not just waving that magic wand and we're not a bunch of marionettes. It's a partnership. We are created in his image, flesh and blood. And although the man was inherently bland and of light texture, a.k.a. tofu, those who esteemed it, those who worshipped it, those who appreciated it, really could taste all kinds of manners and wonderful flavors in it. So the lesson here is no matter how objectively poor one's material status might be, he who is sameach b'chalko, happy with his lot, can enjoy everything that is significant in this world. On the other hand, if you're never satisfied, if you're always complaining, you're never going to have a peace of mind. And double portion Friday, we'll get to that after because it's something I do want to share. Anything else about the mun here? Everyone collected a double portion on Friday and the leftover portion did not spoil overnight. Those who nevertheless went out to collect on Shabbat found no additional manna. Lesson, prepare for Shabbos, keep the Shabbos. You will not suffer financially. Anything is made up. Anything you earn on Shabbos will go to things that you do not need. Don't violate it, honor it. Okay, so in order to finish this, I want to really hear. My mic is like dead inside. I can't hear you. Okay, Rabbi Dessler, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, the author of Michtav Me'eliyahu, my favorite three-volume set. Check it out at Amazon. Okay. He tells the story of a Rav who has students coming to him in the hopes of joining his yeshiva. He begins to interview one student and says to him, "What brings you to our yeshiva?" And in his innocence, the student answers, "The train." Rabbi Dessler explains that a lot of things happen in life, but we have to always ask, why God makes them happen. Life is meaningless, he continues, if it's just perceived in the physical, which train did I take, and not in the deeper meaning. You know, many of us are mothers, many of us listening, and fathers, let's not make it sexist, and we read to our kids Amelia Bedelia. Remember the Amelia Bedelia stories? Amelia Bedelia, draw the curtains, and then she drew a picture of curtains. Amelia Bedelia dressed the chicken. There are things that are literal and things that are so much deeper, things that make us realize who we are and how special we are. We are created in his image. It's not enough to get the mun and stuff it in our faces. We are delivered mun, manna, every single day. The manna of health, the manna of wisdom, the manna of livelihood, the manna of good relationships. This is Andrea Simintov in Jerusalem. Pull up a chair. I wish that the manna should rain upon you and yours in abundance and with bracha. Shabbat shalom.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.